Nice memories. It is good to look back times to times in order to honor the past, to see how God has been at work and how God used various people, how God keeps using us. Nothing wrong times to times to stop and travel in time, as Brother Mike said. The most important thing is to make sure we can get back and we don't stay anchored in time. We've learned the lessons, we praise the Lord for what he had done, and we learn how to move forward into the brilliant future that he has prepared for us. Amen. In light of this, have you noticed that we always tend to honor people and be thankful and grateful for our parents, for our friends, for brothers and sisters, mainly after they passed away, after they move home? We look back and we are grateful. And somehow we often find it difficult, or may think we, you know, we don't want to have them boast, you know, if we express our thankfulness and gratefulness towards what they are and do in the present. So I would just like to take a moment. I haven't planned that, but I honestly want to thank you, each one of you, Brother Mike and David and Peter, Maureen, every one of you here. I don't have time to, you know, Jim. There's so many who have done so many things for this church. You've been used by God. Hats off to you. I don't wear hats. I've only tried it once or twice in the past, and I've heard a few comments. I've decided not to wear them. But in a very metaphoric way, hats off to you, brothers and sisters. You are valuable. We love you, and we very much appreciate what you have done. You wrote history. And each one of you, whatever you do today, you write history. One day, you'll be remembered. One day you'll be remembered not just at your funeral service, but in times like this, when the church decides to have a specific service and look back. And I challenge you to think, what would people say about you? What would people say about me long after I'm gone? Long after. Think about a few things, one, two, three things. How would they speak about me? What is the impact I had in this church, in this community, in the kingdom of God? I know a few things about me. I'm pretty sure at some point, if you'll ever have to refer to what I've done during my service here at George Road, you may remember, yes, he was Romanian. He had a broken English, but we understood what he said. He struggled. And absolutely, he had long, long sermons. I'm sure you wouldn't remember, you wouldn't forget this. I'm not sure. Sorry? I can't tell this, but I'm sure about being long. And I struggle with that too. So, yes, we are thankful. We appreciate you. And we pray that God will continue to use you mighty until the day he will take you home. Now, just a few things before I'll share a very brief sermon. I don't want to forget about sharing with you a few notices, especially about next Sunday. It's going to be a great grand event, not a grand opening yet, but we are going to celebrate the launching of this new church expression, Connected Life Church. And it's going to be a special service, 2 hours. We have some leaflets printed at the back. Those of you who would like to take some of them, not leaflets, flyers, to pass it on to your neighbors, to your friends, maybe some of them on this road. We also have it in a digital format this week. I've flooded most of my friends in this area with this invitation. So we hope that we'll have More spaces, more chairs. Sorry, not more space, but we will have enough chairs in the building to accommodate all the people from former George Road, former EMS, and also our guests. We are going to have few guests from the States, two American pastors. You've seen them before here, about 3-4 years ago, and you'll learn a little bit more about why they are coming here, because they would like to partner with us, to support us, and they are thrilled about this new Emerge church. Unfortunately, none of Hiba leaders and pastors that they were invited couldn't attend, because that was a bit of a short notice for them. We've took the decision at the end of March, so many of them had already plans. David Ellis planned his holiday long before, so he's going to be away. And our brother Adrian Argyle couldn't change his schedule. He's scheduled to preach somewhere else. But we are waiting for some of these people, some video greetings, together with many others. We are still waiting one from our former previous pastor, Alan Pike. I'm not sure how many of you know that he recently struggled with COVID. He recovered, but he still has a bit of a cough, and he couldn't record this video. We have many others from other friends, and we are going to have a video collage or montage with this. However, our main guest, a special guest as always, will be Jesus Christ, and his presence and his glory will shine among us. One more thing that I would like you to be aware of this, besides the service and having a meal afterwards, so please make sure you come with some significant contribution. Jean is going to coordinate this together with so many other people, so make sure you'll bring and share in a generous way. We will have to spend about 2 hours at the back, so enough food to eat, but not too much, in order to not be too exhausted when we come back here at 3 o'clock for another short service to continue our celebration. During that service, we've decided it's time to go over some hesitations, reservations. We've had at George Road in the past about taking photos and videos. Those of you who would like to not appear in any of these photos or videos will designate chairs at the very far back where camera cannot reach, and we will be aware of that. But those of you who don't have anything to hide, you came here in a public space, you don't want to hide your presence in God's church, we would like to record that service and take it from here. Why not in the future? Everywhere you look, there are photos, there are in any organizations, especially a church. You cannot describe a church just through words. Sometimes people want to see faces. So prepare your minds and hearts for that. And those of you who still have some reservation, we fully understand you will have reserved spaces at the back. But during the service, we are going to take some photos and videos. We also want to increase our online presence as well. And rather than focusing all the time just on a few people here on the stage, again, a few faces might help for people to realize what sort of church we are. Many of you have said that from the beginning, when you joined this church, George Road, talking now, you experienced this welcoming spirit. And I too, with my family, I was struck by this. After I visited many churches, I've decided this is a major thing that for us counts, besides making sure that this is a church that is anchored in God's word, and here is preached, Christ and his salvation and everything. Maureen referred a few times during her testimonials about the fact that this church supported her, but changed the course of her life and the course of your family. And perhaps many of you can say this, that this church changed you, changed the course of your life. And this is what I've start sharing somehow last Sunday in a very long sermon that I couldn't cover it well, and somewhere mid-through, I have to say, I lost track because I had so much to say and the time was against me. Chapter 3 in Second Corinthians, we are still there, is the theological meat of the entire letter. It's a wonderful chapter, difficult as well, and I've tried the impossible to cover it in one sermon. I realized afterward I should never try to do that. The reason I tried was knowing that today I don't have enough time, so we will focus mainly on the testimonials, knowing that next Sunday we are going to celebrate this launching of a new church, Connected Life Church, and then, you need to be aware of this, I'll be away for 2 Sundays. So I thought there is no point to start the chapter and then leave it for a month because we forget. I tried my best. I apologize. I somehow failed, in my view, to cover it all. However, verse 18, just in few minutes, once again, speaks about this amazing change, amazing transformation that God is about to do in us. And to put it in context, I'm going to read from verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed. Now, whenever we look at every church, sometimes we tend to judge. Is this a church, a good church? Is this not such a good church? Is this a church worthy of my presence or not? How do you judge a church? According to what? And you've already mentioned welcoming. It's a very important thing. We love to be welcomed. But there might be other clubs or, I don't know, spaces out there that are very good at welcoming. When you fly, when you take a flight to fly somewhere else, the flight attendants are good at welcoming you. Is that a church? No, welcoming matters. Music, as Marie said at the end, you know, we are very thankful for those who use their gifts, and music in a church matters. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, I've met with people who came here a few times. I'm honest with you, and they require me to meet with them. We went for a coffee, we went for a walk, we met a few times, and they said, Daniel, I really like the spirit of the church. I like the preaching, but I struggle sometimes with these old hymns. And I'm talking about English people. They prefer things like Gastrit or other sort of things. Okay, we understand this. Music matters to some extent. But we find music in every good concert. Is that a church? No. How do you judge, really, a church? According to what? And I would dare to say that although there are many ingredients, one of the main ingredients is this. Are people being transformed in the likeness of Christ? Through everything that we do, from welcoming to sharing testimonies, working together in various things, music, preaching, Christ-centered sermons. But are people being changed, transformed? And that's such an encouraging when you hear what Maureen said. My life changed, the course of my life, the course of my family. When people come with broken hearts, with broken marriages, with broken careers, with whatever, completely destroyed, and they are being transformed by God. How is God transforming us into His likeness? He does it, first of all, through his Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul puts it here. The whole notion of the Spirit throughout the entire chapter. When he says first to Corinthians, I don't need a letter of commendation from you because you are my letter, but a letter written in the heart by the Spirit of God. And now he says, you know, this transformation is first of all worked by the Spirit of God who dwells in us, who gave us a new birth. He gave us this infusion of divine nature, a new nature that we never had. It was lost because of sin. You hear often today questions like, are you a born-again Christian? What a nonsense. What's this? A pleonasm. Pleonasm, when two things mean the same, when two different things sound different, but they mean the same thing. It's not possible to be a Christian without being a born again person. Oh, once you are a Christian, it implies you are a born again. Now, yes, I understand this is a long concept to explain, and we don't have that today. Again, we need to close to conclude the service. The Holy Spirit of God infuses God's nature in me. When I receive Christ, I am in Christ and he is in me. And the Holy Spirit, through God's word, produces in me a new nature. But then, as we study God's word, and that's the most important thing, we want to continue here at Connected Life Church, to continue to be connected in the word of God, to value it, to use it, to allow it to transform our lives. That's the only way in which we can experience this transformation daily. It's a process. It doesn't happen in an instant. I said that's why we cannot hang a sign at the door, you know, welcome in, you'll be instantaneously transformed. We can't. It's a lifelong process. Through the preaching of God's word, through the studying of God's word at home. Someone said this is a mirror in which you look daily. And when you look in this mirror, first, you should see you. How do I look? Especially in the Old Testament, we've discussed a great deal. And you see your true nature. I once read about a missionary who went somewhere in Africa in a tribe, and he brought with him some mirrors. And once he gave the mirror to the chief of the tribe, and the chief of the tribe took the mirror, looked, he said, who is this ugly person? And he smashed it, only to realize later on it was him. Sometimes we see our inadequacies, our issues, our ugliness because of sin in God's word. But when we receive Christ, when we had received that infusion of divine life and the new nature in us, we are being transformed in Christ-likeness. And when we study, we see Christ, the beauty of Christ, the glory of Christ. And I'm inviting to follow him, to love him more, to go into a deeper relationship with him more and more and more. Until one day I will become like him. And no matter what others will tell you, you go out and say, I'm a Christian, not a born again Christian. I'm a Christian. You are born again if you are a Christian. And they don't like you. They don't like your values. And they will call you all kinds of names. It doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter what they say. It matters what these scriptures say and what God says about you. Once I read the story about, I think that's one of those childhood stories. I can't remember exactly the name, but I remember this picture about a princess who was stolen by a witch very early in life, taken in her castle, witchcraft, whatever, witch castle. And what's the name? The? Okay, that's one. She hided all the mirrors. So she couldn't see herself at all. And she kept telling her, you are ugly, you are ugly, you are ugly. And she grew up with this concept because this is what she heard. She's ugly. Until one day, like in every story like this, she was one day on the balcony looking around, and a charming prince riding a horse arrived, and he saw the beauty of this young princess. He rescued her. He took her on his horse until a point when they reached to a lake, and she wanted to just wash her face to refresh a little bit with fresh water. And looking in the water, she saw who she is, the beauty that she never thought. That's the only way you can see yourself, if you are in Christ through the Bible lens. I had a lot more to say, but let's stop today. What kind of church we want to be? A church that transforms lives. No matter how broken you are, no matter how you think of the future, no matter how people see you outside, and sometimes, let's be fair, even people inside, go into God's Word, study it, look at Christ, and see if you can recognize yourself as a Christ-like person seen in the mirror of the gospel. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. It's a different perspective to look in the Bible and say,